These are tumultuous times for many in our country, specifically when it comes to the U.S. justice system. This is Lisa Berry. A lot going on in Washington, much involving President Donald Trump, the recent firing of the head of the FBI, James Comey, the possibility of Russian influence on the 2016 election. So it seemed like the perfect time to talk with the former U.S. attorney for the Eastern District of Michigan, first woman to hold that position, and now a professor of law at the University of Michigan Law School, Barbara McQuaid. Welcome to 89.1 WEMU.
Thanks so much. Glad to be here.
I feel like I just read the plot for Tom Clancy novel.
You mean all of the issues going on
in the
White House?
Right.
It really is amazing how each day seems more shocking than the last with some new revelation that's going on. I agree. You say a Tom Clancy novel. I always say reality show, but
okay.
I'm not sure which is scarier.
So what is your takeaway? Did you work with Comey when you were the U.S. attorney?
I did. I knew him a little bit. He had been the U.S. attorney himself in New York and then the deputy attorney general and then the director of the FBI. And so I've met him on maybe half dozen occasions, and I've always thought very highly of him. You know, I know President Trump criticized him for being maybe a showboat or a grandstander, and I think you could maybe say those things about him. And also, I think you could disagree with some of his decisions in handling the Clinton email investigation. But I will say this. I don't think anyone who knows him or has ever spent any time with him would ever doubt his integrity.
Okay. So what happened, in your view?
You know, I think one of the things we saw here was a little bit of a culture clash. I think that when you come from the private sector and running business, you value personal loyalty, loyalty to the boss above all else. And I think in government, where Comey comes from, you value loyalty to the mission. And so I think we saw a conflict between loyalty to the president, the boss, and loyalty to the mission, the quest for the truth in an independent investigation.
And now we're hearing about these memos that Comey wrote after his meetings with the president. What's your take on that?
Well, Comey is a memo writer. Your listeners may remember back in the 2000s when he was the deputy attorney general, there was this famous showdown at the bedside of then Attorney General John Ashcroft. The Justice Department had concluded that a surveillance program was illegal. And then White House counsel Alberto Gonzalez wanted Ashcroft to sign the order, and Comey raced to the bedside, and there was a big standoff. But he kept copious notes of that interaction, of everything that happened there, and he testified about it 3 years later. But he referred back to his emails that he had written contemporaneously. So I don't think anyone is surprised that he may have written a memo to himself, to the file, about what happened, knowing that it was quite possible that the day may come when he would have to testify about it.
Why are we hearing about them now, though? How did that happen?
Well, I don't know. I mean, if it's out there in the public domain, either he himself has shared it with a reporter or one of his colleagues at the FBI, someone who's close to him, has shared it with the news media. I think it was the New York Times that broke the story.
Right.
A reporter said he didn't see the memo, but someone read it to him over the phone. And so I think someone at the FBI, it sounds like, is leaking this information, which, you know, is not a great scenario, but maybe better than the alternative.
Do you think we're seeing more leaks in the Trump administration than we did in previous ones?
It seems like it, doesn't it? And the one that really disturbed me, you know, leaks, we have this debate all the time. Are leakers great patriots or are they traitors to their country? I mean, you take an obligation not to disclose these things when you go work for the government. The one that really shocked me was we saw a few weeks ago disclosure that Carter Page, who had been an advisor to President Trump during the campaign, was the subject of a FISA order. That's the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court, supposed to be secret, highly classified, that he was the subject of surveillance from that court. The fact that that was disclosed was really shocking to me. And so it is a very different climate.
How concerned are you as someone who works to protect the law and uphold the justice system that there are all these leaks and these allegations about Russia being involved in the election? Does that concern you?
It all concerns me. I mean, leaks concern me, but I suppose when you are believe that what's happening within your government is contrary to separation of powers and democracy and independence, maybe maybe that's the best alternative. I don't know. I mean, I always tuck those disclosure laws very literally in not disclosing them. But we're living in some very unusual times. I mean, the idea that Russia influenced the election is really concerning. And we heard James Clapper testify about a week ago. The Russians must be really congratulating themselves when they see the chaos that they have thrown our country into.
But the president says that's a made-up story. That's what he tweeted.
I don't know. I think we can all decide for ourselves whether we think our government is in chaos.
You've been writing some op-ed pieces, and you wrote one recently about the importance of independence in politics. Tell us more about that.
Well, in relation to the Comey firing, you know, we saw President Trump fire Comey. The reasons he gave have all been sort of a – first, it was because he didn't like the way he handled the Clinton investigation of the emails. And then later he said, no, it was the Russia thing. He's a showboat, and he's a – grandstander, and so I fired him. One of the important things in the FBI director's term is that he has a 10-year term.
Right.
Now, that doesn't mean he can't be fired by the president for any reason or no reason at all, but certainly the intent in giving the FBI director a 10-year term is that he would outlast the president who appointed him. He would span two or maybe even three administrations, and so he could be independent mm-hmm. and perceived by the public as independent, which is very important, I think, to instill confidence in the public in the work of the FBI. And so the firing really, I think, damages not only the actual independence, but the perception of independence. And so I think the way to remedy that at this stage is to call for an independent counsel to lead the investigation into the Russia interference in the campaign.
Is that Barbara McQuaid's personal opinion, or is that something you're going to be working towards?
It is my personal opinion. I have signed on with others who share that opinion. But you know, it's so important that the public have confidence in the FBI and our institutions of government. I think we've seen such criticism into the legitimacy of all of the institutions that keep our country free from tyrants. Hmm. Free press has come under attack. Mm-hmm. Our elections have come under attack. Our independent judiciary has come under attack. You know, criticism of so-called judge. And now the FBI, I think the public needs to believe, and it needs to be true, that the FBI and the Department of Justice are acting independent of politics and making decisions based on fact and law. And now that the president has fired the FBI director and will hire his successor, then I think to have confidence in the outcome of any investigation, we want someone independent there, because the decision might ultimately be that no charges are appropriate. Mm. And I think we want to make sure that we're confident that that's the right decision and not a political one.
So the way we're hearing this summed up by a lot of people is obstruction of justice. But then I understand in Congress, there's a lot of questions on both sides of the aisle. What exactly does that mean? What does that mean to Barbara McQuaid, former U.S. attorney for the Eastern District of Michigan?
Well, we heard this report. President Trump asked Director Comey to, said something like, Michael Flynn's a good guy. Can't you just let this go? I think words to that effect. Could that amount to obstruction of justice? Well, it could. There is, in the criminal realm, a federal statute that prohibits people from corruptly impeding or obstructing an investigation by any agency. What it really turns on is the intent of the action. That word corruptly is so critically important. Why did he make those statements? Now, in a court, you'd have to show he had some sort of bad purpose, that he wanted to end an investigation because he feared it was getting too close to his administration or to him. That would be enough. Or, conversely, it could be that he thought this is a frivolous investigation. It is coming at great expense of taxpayer money, and you should end it. So his purpose would be really important. Now, I don't think that a sitting president can be indicted by his own Justice Department. I think the venue for that...
Would that be a first?
I think it would. The vehicle would be for Congress to initiate impeachment proceedings, but certainly there, it's a looser standard of what...
I've heard there's no way that's happening with the political makeup of Congress right now.
Yeah, I don't know how likely that is, but that would be the vehicle for going after a sitting president, is to show that this is obstruction of justice based on a corrupt purpose to interfere with a legitimate investigation.
As an attorney and an upcoming professor of law at the University of Michigan, do you think we'll ever find out?
My guess is that there will be congressional hearings where James Comey is called to testify about that memo. And I'll tell you what, if I remember that hearing, I would subpoena any tapes that President Trump might have. I mean, remember he tweeted, Jim Comey better hope that there are no tapes of our conversation.
Right.
Well, that to me is enough to suggest that I'm going to ask subpoena if there
Bring
are,
it.
Yeah, if there are tapes, let's hear them. Let's hear what's on them.
I recently heard Barbara McQuaid speak at the commencement for Eastern Michigan University graduates, and I went from mom mode, my son was graduating, to reporter, started taking notes because I thought your message was such a great one. Can you share some of that with us now?
Yeah, the point of the message was really flowed from a quote by Thomas Jefferson, who said far more elegantly, but words to the effect that an effective democracy depends on an informed citizenry. We need to be informed, and that takes hard work. We need to educate ourselves, and we need to listen to each other. So I talked in turn about, one, the hard work it takes to be informed. You have to read. You have to watch. You have to listen. You have to educate yourself about the issues. And sometimes it's easy because there's so much information on the internet, and sometimes it's hard because there's so much information on the internet.
Right.
We are sometimes the victims of information overload, but nonetheless, we have to do that because our vote matters so, so very much. I told the story of how important it is to get out and vote and to be engaged and get out and do it. I remembered a story when my husband and I met a candidate who was running for Washtenaw County Commission, Yusuf Rabi, and he was campaigning door to door while we were out in our yard struggling to put up a trampoline for our children. And we had intended to vote for his opponent, by the way.
Hmm.
And he came and spoke with us, and he spent about 20 minutes helping us assemble this trampoline. And while he was there, he said, well, all right, well, as long as you're going to help us, go ahead and tell us the issues you care about. And he did, and we were very impressed with him. So we both ended up voting for him. And he won his election by one vote. And so I think that is a great example of how every vote matters.
And didn't you say something else, too, about considering all sides, keep an open mind?
Yeah, so in addition to educating yourself, a really important thing is that we've got to listen to each other. I think we've become such an echo chamber where we only want to listen to people who agree with us.
Mm-hmm.
Social media, I think, exacerbates that. We tend to be friends with people who think like us. We follow the Twitter feeds of people who think like us and Instagram. It's very important to listen to perspectives of people who are different from you. I talked about, you know, finding mentors who are different from you. It's really important to think about different perspectives. That's the value of diversity. In my work as U.S. attorney, we so value diversity. I really wanted to hire a more diverse workforce, in part because I think it's the right thing to do, but I also think it made us stronger and more effective when we had a diverse perspective of people at the table. A jury, you can bet, has diverse viewpoints, and so we wanted to replicate that diversity. When we sat around the table and talked about cases, it was useful to have someone in the room who could say, you know, in the neighborhood where I grew up, just because you run from the police doesn't mean you did something wrong. Or in the country where I grew up, just because you don't make eye contact with someone doesn't mean you're under suspicion. And so having those different perspectives is really eye-opening. We all can make better decisions when we listen to different perspectives. And I think our instinct these days is to retreat to our corners with those who think like us because it makes us feel better. And we need to challenge our ideas and listen to the ideas of others.
Barbara McQuaid, former U.S. Attorney for the Eastern District of Michigan, coming up to be a professor at the University of Michigan Law School. Thanks for sharing your perspective with us here on 89.1 WEMU.
My pleasure. Thank you.